Hi, welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society.
Ah! Are you making fun of me?
Brian, our producer, has forgotten a little device which provides our sound effects, so I'm trying to fill in.
Hey, I have a very good excuse.
I know. And the excuse is your corporate relocation.
And my relocation.
And
you're,
and that's this weekend, right?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Already.
Well, that's good. Bye-bye, Jersey.
Bye, Jersey. I'm out of here. Goodbye, New Jersey.
Yeah, really. Try to contain your enthusiasm there, you know. So, how was your Halloween?
I worked.
That's right. You were in worker bee mode.
I actually worked until about 11 o'clock that night.
On Halloween?
Halloween night.
Have they no respect for your holiday?
Not one bit.
Jeez, it's like a religious observance in my world.
Well, unfortunately, when something's broken, they want it fixed now.
One of those, huh?
Yeah. You want to get paid? Fix it now.
Yeah. You like eating, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're going to get this fixed. Yeah. Gosh. Well, I had a faboo Halloween.
So I saw from the pictures.
Yeah, isn't that... Oh, you've got to see the one. I haven't had time to compress it to put it up on the web. There is one picture of me in that gory getup, okay?
Wait, and what gory getup?
The one I wore to work for Halloween, which, by the way, I should have won for scariest. I think it was rigged. Dracula won.
Well, I don't think it was rigged.
Yeah.
They're used to you every day.
Well, no, I went over the top. Scary ugly. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, beyond my normal appearance. And Dracula won. I'm sitting there going, but first of all, that's not even original. I mean, there's always one or two Draculas at every costume party, every event you go to, right? Am I not right?
Yes, you're right.
Okay, okay. And then, two, it wasn't even really... the theatrical makeup. It was the stuff you get at Party City, that fake grease paint, like kind of white
right.
it on his
yep.
face. And I'm like, now, mine, I used, like, professional walnut shading cream, and I used, you know, professional black and white makeup bases, and I really deadened myself out. I put the good theatrical gel blood dripping from my nose, out of my mouth, down my throat. The poor girl at Walmart... I was trying to be careful, and I, you know, because I had to go up to the register, I had to buy these little slipper things to wear once I got to work for the costume. And she's like, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. She goes, no, she goes, I should have been prepared. I saw you come in around the corner before, and it scared me, but... So, anyway, I mean, it really, and I didn't even, you know, and after a while when you're wearing it, you don't even remember, because you're only looking out your own eyes, you know, and you're not...
Right.
You know, recollecting that that's how you look. We had to convene down by the elevators at 10 o'clock in the morning to do our parade. So anybody who came in that morning to work in a costume got their picture taken and got a goodie bag. And you were, if you wanted to be in the parade, you were given a number. I think I got like number 16 or something. So when we came down at 10 o'clock, we were all to meet in the elevator bank. And then one by one floor, we walk up, we parade the entire floor, go up to the next floor, and we end
okay.
in the powerhouse conference room on the fifth floor. And that's where you have to parade by the judges. They go out and make their decisions and make their awards. So I come down to the elevator bank. I'm standing there, and I'm marveling at these little kids. Some of them were just so adorable. People brought their kids in costume. And they had, like, one was a little chicken. Oh, it was a scream. One was a little monkey. One was Bob the Builder. And I'm looking at them going, look how cute. And I'm talking like just like I am now. And these kids are like, their eyes are getting big. And one had tears welling up in his eyes. And they're kind of shunning and pulling back and hanging on their mother's legs. And I'm like, what the? And then I realize, oops.
Now they know my life.
I'm like, that's how I look. I'm like, oh, I forgot. And that's when I said to myself, then this is a scary costume. Because usually little kids are like, I have no problem with them. Little kids will come up to me and I will read me a story, this, that, and the other. I love kids. And to see them like pulling away, welling up with tears, being so frightened, I'm like, damn, I'm good. So anyway, getting back to that night. So I get... bummed. I didn't win my scariest costume at work. All right, whatever. However, that night, I decide, you know what? I have to watch the Montel show. I even picked up champagne. I'm like, I am celebrating.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was cheap. It was Korbel. I didn't get my Veuve Clicquot, okay. But I got Korbel. So I got Korbel Brut. This is good. Light up some candles, have some champagne, watch the show. After the show, Peter.
How was it, by the way?
It was done really well. I have to say, you know, every time there was a shot, I was like, oh, there's my hair. Oh, there's part of my head. Oh, you know, how exciting. But so after the show, Peter was there, and he's like, well, why don't I take some pictures? Because it kept freaking him out. I would start talking to him, just like having a conversation or having some champagne. He's like, I can't handle this. He's like, this is the way I looked, you know. He's like, I got to get pictures of this. So I had that, I don't know if you remember that whole candle screen thing I had.
Yes,
well,
yes.
I had that all lit up with the tea lights, okay? Well, I got this picture. He took this picture of me that's phenomenal. I've got to get it on the website because I actually became the very thing I hunt. I became a ghost. Somehow, the way he shot it, I don't know if it was double exposed or what, but you can see through my arm, my forearm, you can actually see through it and see the candles lit and the bars and everything that the candles sit in right through my skin.
Huh.
I mean, there's parts of me that just kind of are translucent, and you're seeing the whole candle thing behind me. I mean, couldn't have asked for a better ghost shot if I planned it. So that was really cool. So we got that picture, but I've still got to format that. But so then, you know, we sit down, we're laughing, we're looking at some of the pictures we took, having a blast. And it hits me, hey, let's just go to Shades of Death Road. I mean, come on.
Oh, what the hell?
What the hell? It's like 10, 15 minutes from my door, and it's Halloween, and I'm all dressed up. I said, wouldn't it be cool to get a picture of me with the sign, Shades of Death Road? And he's like, oh, it's awesome. So it was very impromptu. We're like, spontaneous, let's do it. So we do it. So we drive out to Shades of Death. We pull over at the very beginning on our end of the road. So it's where the street sign is just a pole.
Right.
You know, and I stand in front of it, and this one car is coming up the street, and it makes a very slow right turn because they're looking like, what the hell is that, you know? And then we're taking a few more pictures. This other car pulls up as if it's going to make a right, but it doesn't move. And I can barely make out in the dark some writing on the car, and I'm like, man, I think that's a cop. So I'm like, okay, Peter, I'm nervous. Let's just get out of here. So he's like, yeah, let's go. So we turn around to start walking back to my car. And next thing you know, these people jump out of that car, this black guy and this white woman, and she goes, excuse me, what are you doing here? And we're like, well, we were just taking pictures, we're leaving. And she's like, oh, no, I'm from News 69. I was wondering if I could get an interview. I'm like, Peter starts laughing. He's like, what are the chances? Like, how did you couldn't have planned it any better. So I'm like, she goes, would you mind going on camera for us? I'm like, yeah, all right. So I start telling what I know, the history of Shades of Death Road, because we used to do morbid mobile tours there. And, you know, we saw on her microphone channel 69, so we figured, well, you can't forget a number like 69.
What do you mean?
You know, yeah, as airheaded as we Aquarians are, we're like, 69, that will register, you know. So we were cracking up. I gave her one of my business cards so she'd have the correct spelling of my name, whatever. We continued down Shades of Death Road. Now it gets really good. We pull into Ghost Lake because he wants pictures with Ghost Lake in the background. As we're approaching Ghost Lake, we can see there's people down there taking pictures. I don't know what possesses him, but he decides to pull in at like 90 miles an hour and scare the living crap out of these people. Flaring the high beams, I mean, and they jump in their little car or whatever the hell it was, and they take off. We get out, we take a couple pictures, we get back in my car, we start to pull out, we start going down the other way of Shades of Death, and next thing you know, there's this car with high beams right on our tail. So Peter speeds up. I'm like, go faster. He's like, well, you know, and you have to be careful because that's part of why it's Shades of Death, because you can just wipe out in a heartbeat. He's like, well, and plus he's not from the area. He's like maybe driven on that road once or twice before with me. So, and it's dark. Like the couple times I've taken him up there, it's been daylight. And I go faster. He's like, well, I can only go so fast. I don't know the road. And he's like wailing on the car. I'm like, I don't care. And we keep driving, and this car is coming up. And next thing, it was like, bam, bam. There's like this big flash of light. I'm like, what the hell? He goes, I think they're trying to take your picture. I was like, you know what? Just pull over. So we signal to pull over, figuring let them go by.
Right.
They pull in behind us. Now I'm getting scared. I'm like, but you know what, son of a gun? I'm getting out of this car. I'm going to find out what the hell is going on. So I get out of the car. He gets out. And I'm like, I'm squinting because their lights are so bright and blinding. And next thing you know, they start flashing again. They were taking pictures. So I must have freaked them out the way I looked. And then they got in their car. Well, they were in the car. We got back in our car, and they, like, screamed and went around us.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, so that's the end of that. So we waited. Then we continued down the end of Shades of Death. We took a couple more pictures at the other Shades of Death street sign. And we made our way back out, got home, looked up Channel 69, and were able to DVR and actually see... And, you know, I didn't say much, but it was just funny. I'm like, my poor mother, if she channel surfs and sees this the way I look, she'll be like, that's my baby, what happened, you know?
What did I do wrong?
Oh, God. So, yeah, so it was very eventful, I have to say. And the Montel thing was fun. I think they did a nice job. And people, if that's the first time you've ever seen me, I do not wear my hair like that.
Yes, she does.
No, I mean, they did a beautiful job. I do not have the patience nor the talent to sit there and curl my hair. So, basically, it just hangs there and or is in a ponytail. Like Brian knows, it's usually just in a ponytail because I could really... I'm a very low-maintenance kind of gal. They made me look very high-maintenance, but I'm very low-maintenance.
Just remember one thing. That was supposed to be me.
Oh, yeah.
I turned it down.
Such the dedicated employee. You know?
This Halloween, I missed everything.
You could have... You know, we should have gone together because Tim and Kevin from Atlanta... Look at this. They got flown up. Not only just them, but even the one guy's wife. They paid to fly all three of them up from Atlanta to New York,
right.
Put them up in a hotel, let them go sightseeing, be on the show. So what skin off are their tomatoes would have been... You know, if you had the time, I think it would have been... cool to have both of us. And I think that's why Sylvia Brown was like hitting on them to say, give me your cards, I'm trying to work a deal here and all that stuff, because she figured, well, there's two of them, there's safety in numbers, you know.
Right, right.
And it's a male energy thing. See, if my male energy had been there.
Well, talk to my bosses.
So, yeah, but it was good. My mother's friend who lives in Florida told me that, you know, she was in some store, you know, and they're waiting online, and they had Montel on the show,
oh,
the
God.
Monitor. And the guy in front of her kind of muttered to himself, like, ooh, the redhead's cute. And my mother's friend hits him. She goes, shut up, that's my friend's daughter. It was just pretty funny. And IM started popping up. That's what first freaked me out, because I start, this window pops up saying, hey, I see you on Montel. And I'm like, what the hell, you know? I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, I'm not on now. Did we record the wrong show? I'm calling Peter. I'm like, put your TV on. Oh, my God, we recorded the wrong thing. Well, it turns out the guy was from Cincinnati, Ohio.
He probably got it at an earlier time.
He got it at the earlier time. And then I got an instant message from someone else in Florida. And then later that night, I got emails from people in California who were, you know? So it was like, this is going all over the place. This is so wild. So.
Yeah, that's how we start getting national coverage.
Yeah, let's hope, you know? We've been plugging at this for how long? But anyway, so let's cover upcoming meetings, since there's not that many. Because here's why. In December, we don't have any.
Not one?
Not one. You know, you have to tune into the deadline. And other than that, get ready for January, because January 3rd will be the Central Jersey Division. Now, that's at the Hazlitt Library, located at 251 Middle Road in Hazlitt. That's January 3rd. All meetings will be 7 to 8:30 p.m. Then you have January 16th out in good old Hackettstown, my hometown. That's at 293 Main Street in the Community Center. And then you have, and that's the Northwest Division. Then you have the Northeast Division, which is headed up by Laura Lindemann. And that's January 26th at the Bogota Recreation Center, located at 162 West Main Street in Bogota. I should mention that Gregory and Sherry Irish are the team leaders for the Central Jersey Division. However, you know, get well prayers and good wishes go out to Gregory, because
definitely.
He will not be at that meeting. I think he'll have had the surgery. I think he's having back surgery, and he will be recuperating. So anybody out there who wants to send him an email of get well soon, that would be great, but I think his lovely wife, Sherry, will take the lead on that meeting for January. So.
So what section am I going to be in?
Yeah. Well, you're out in PA, and we're the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society.
Well, fine. I will take my equipment with me.
No. But you're on the podcast, which is international, so. Oh, and I don't know if anybody has seen the redesigned first part of our homepage.
I have.
Pretty cool, huh?
Very cool.
Kudos to Peter. He has done all that, and he, you know, he explains up one side and down the other this stuff about autoresponders and pay-per-clicks and inbound links and yada yada. And I sit there, and he's to the point where, I mean, this is on the phone, and he can hear my deer in the headlight stare. It's that pronounced. Exactly. It's terrible. But God love him. He keeps plugging away, even though he knows it's like way over her head. But I have to say, it's pretty cool, the stuff he has set up and the responses we're getting, and people like the free lessons.
He has a good benefits package.
Are we getting back to that 69 number again? Anyway. So, yeah. So, that's pretty cool that the site, he's done that. So, we got some new funky stuff going on. And we have a whole team ready to dispatch to Eastern State for training.
We do?
Yes, we do, Brian.
Last time I knew it was four.
We have four people paid and ready to go.
Don't we need five?
You're the fifth.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Duh.
I'll go snow. Yeah, but you know what? I got an email from someone today saying, can you let me know when the next team's going to be ready? Because I only have two people, me and my partner. I said, well, all you need is two more, because we only need a foursome, you know. So we may end up having two teams. So that means we'd need two team leaders. But so I, you know. At this point, we're probably looking at December, given the fact that November is already here and we're slammed.
I don't know if anyone wants to do it in December, because it's going to be cold in there.
Well, these people that have already ready to go, they wanted to do it in November. Now, if I can get a November date,
we'll see if we can swing a November.
Yeah, I mean,
December and January are going to be freezing.
Well, January and February would be bad. December isn't as bad, and with all the global warming.
But that, and with the holidays too. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see what comes up.
Okay. So, would you like to move along to shout out?
Oh, why not?
Okay. Each week, we will give a shout-out to a paranormal investigating group or ghost hunting club. We want to recognize those exceptional organizations out there in the field who are doing the research and sharing their findings via their websites. If you would like your group shouted at, send an email with the link to your site to thedeadline@njghs.net. We'll check out your site, and if you make the grade, we'll email you to let you know which show your shout-out will be aired on. So this week's shout-out goes to United Ghost Hunters Network. They are located at UnitedGhostHuntersNetwork.com.
Ooh, that was a tough one.
That was tough. Now, this group is headed up by Jared Perry. He's a buddy of mine down there in Texas. And he's got two divisions, the one that he runs in Texas and also a division out in Ohio. They were founded in February of 2004, and they're looking to expand to have a branch in every state. So way to go, Jared, and congratulations, and shout it out to UnitedGhostHuntersNetwork.com. Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net, or send your check or money order payable to the Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey 07054. Happy haunting.
Hi, I'm Mark Nesbitt, and you're listening to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society.
Hi, welcome back to The Deadline. It's time for Parashare.
Now, again.
Parashare is where those of you can send in your ghostly encounters and paranormal experiences to thedeadline@njghs.net. I've taken off the handy-dandy form that was on our site because they redid it, and they don't allow you to put as much verbiage as you want.
Good. I don't like it anyway.
And people weren't really using it. So it's just easier to use thedeadline@njghs.net and mail in your stories, email in your stories, because you do get entered in a monthly drawing. Later this month, we will pick out of all the people who sent in parashares.
Oh, we're starting that again?
We're doing that again.
Oh, no.
And somebody will win membership in the NJGHS. Okay. So, here's our first parashare. This was sent in by Anonymous, and we honor that. If you wish to be anonymous, we're cool with that. Okay. My story. Ever since I was little, I have known that I have had the ability to communicate with spirits. The first encounter I had was when I was about 6. My mom had put me down for a nap, as she normally did. I slept for about an hour or so, and when I woke up, I went out to the kitchen where my mom was sitting. I proceeded to ask her about my Grammy Barris, who happened to pass on before I was even born. That's where our conversation began to get a little strange. I had obviously never met my Grammy before, but I was able to describe to my mom exactly what my Grammy looked like, and what she was wearing and when she was buried. My Grammy also left me a special message for my mom, which I would rather not share because it is quite personal. But ever since that day, I have known that I have a gift. When I was younger, it scared me, but now that I'm a little older, I have learned to appreciate it. I'm getting used to it and now opening up to it. A little over 4 years ago, my dad passed away, and I've been able to still communicate with him. And one day, I knew he was in the house with us, and I got a photograph. Whoa. Now, see, we need the photograph to put
right
on the website,
yeah,
you know. And we won't give away your identity, but that would be really, really cool. So, so thank you very much, Anonymous. That was great.
Yes, thank you.
And that Anonymous did request 2 bumper stickers, so, you know, I said sure. Okay, here we go. Here's another one. Now, this is a follow-up from a certain NJGHS member.
Is this Anonymous, too?
I'm trying to think. Oh, you know what? No, I think in this one she doesn't care if we say. This is from Kathy.
Okay.
And the one who had the ghost guy in the backyard,
yep,
and then pointed out the well in the yard and everything. So, let's see. As you might have guessed, I took pictures in my own house and was shocked when I got what looked like orbs. And I know this time no one touched them but me. Oh, that's right. Remember that time we had that screwy little picture incident?
Okay. Yes.
All right, so this time she's got it down. She's taken her picture. She's guarding it like a hawk. Way to go, Kathy. Okay. But she knows now she shouldn't have been surprised about getting the orbs. She says, I have been having my mandatory sewer hookup done, and my entire yard was ripped up terribly. Yes, my little old man friend is back, and he must have brought his wife. I tried to talk to him and told him that I had to hook up. Well, I guess she had to hook up. I don't know what that means. But I still felt the cloud of worry whenever the men were here with the backhoe. Oh, that digger. Not the backhoe. The backhoe.
It's a 69 again.
Oh, man. See, you got my mind in the gutter. Oh, jeez. All right. Once again, he was here with a warning. While the backhoe was digging up my septic tank, the back part of it sunk down into a huge hole. A second septic tank that we didn't know was there and didn't appear on the town map or deed or wherever they list these things. When they dug it up, I saw that it was handmade with bricks and cement. And you know what that means. My little old man spirit, who was a mason in his life, had built that illegally himself. Only he knew it was there. It was only 1 foot below the surface, and it had no real top. I bet someday it would have collapsed, and he was here to tell me. I've taken pictures all over the house and in the yard. I don't see any more orbs or any signs of him at all, and I don't feel that little cloud. I hope he has gone back to rest now. Wow.
Hmm.
Now, where does his wife factor in, or was that the backhoe?
Oh, that's horrible. Oh, my gosh.
She mentions that he brought his wife, but you don't see or hear anything else after. All right. Well, thank you very, very much for that pair of share. And let's see. Am I doing another one? No, we can't have that many.
No.
Let me see. Let's see. I have one here, which is a long one. Some people, like, you know, when they get writing, which is good.
Oh, we like that.
Let's see. All right, we'll do one more.
Oh, okay.
You know, this looks like a long one, but it sounds pretty cool. Okay, here's my story. Oh, again, and this is from another Anonymous. They must be related. Years ago, I started riding an ambulance in northern New Jersey that my cousin worked for. We were moving to a new building, and he asked me to help out getting it ready for the next day's dedication party. They were out on a call, and I was alone in the new building that was newly redone due to a fire. I started hearing noises upstairs and went to investigate. The first time, nothing was there, but by the third time I went upstairs, at the end of the hall, I saw something dark swish between the meeting room and the male dormitory.
Swish.
That was good.
Hey, thank you.
I went to investigate because I believed I saw a cat. When I went to investigate, there was nothing there. This happened to me several times that morning. When my cousin came back from his call, I asked him if we had brought a cat up to the building, because I kept seeing a dark mass running between the two rooms upstairs. The color from he and his partner's faces drained, and he said, "Ignore it." I knew something was up, but he refused to elaborate. So I questioned everyone I knew about it. Finally, one of the older police officers told me that there used to be a garage there and that a fire had occurred and someone died there. Wow, that's just like an officer to be so specific.
Right,
well,
yeah.
There was a fire at some point and like somebody died. Like, oh my God. Okay.
At least it was a garage.
Yeah, it was, we got something definitive. Okay. He took me upstairs and walked me down the hall. And pointed to the floor between the meeting room and the male dorm and said that was where the body was found, the same place I had seen the dark figure moving. Do 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 do.
Swish.
Ironically, the man who died had a son who joined the squad several years later. We had many experiences through the years, footsteps, whispers. In fact, we had a member of the squad with the same name of his wife, and she'd hear her name being called and would cry out, "You've got the wrong one." Another time, one of my partners was working with the son of the man who died there. When they awoke the next morning, they found the extra pillows and sheets piled neatly between the two beds. Other times, we'd wake up and see a dark figure sitting on the windowsill looking at us. Oh, man. That would freak me out. During a blizzard, I prepped my bed with blankets and sheets and pillows. I had just laid down and got comfortable when I heard a loud dragging noise, only to turn on the light and see the desk had moved across the floor. There was many times that we all spent the night downstairs cramped on the couch because no one was willing to sleep upstairs. Ironically, he never came down, only stayed upstairs. My belief is that he never got out alive and was stuck up there in death. Aww. We had a Monsignor on the squad who finally performed a mini exorcism, and I never heard anything after that. I usually get a headache or migraine when a spirit is close, and I have never had any more of them when I go up there now. He's gone for many years now, but the story is still active, and we don't let the new people know he's gone till after they've been initiated.
Oh, cool.
I've also had some other things happen recently. I was always interested in ghost hunting, but kind of let it go for many years after very sad deaths in my family. But since my interest has peaked back up, I think my sensitivity to them has come back, and maybe they know I'm ready to open up to them again. My dog Puppy passed away last August 2004. Excuse me. I guess she means a couple Augusts ago. Yeah. He was my constant companion and best friend, and I miss him dearly, and swore I'd never get another dog. You know, that's what I always say.
Everyone says that.
I know. I'm like, oh, God, when Digger died, I was like, that's it, I'm never having any more animals. I can't go through this again. Hi, Bob. You know, it's like, ah, it's terrible. Anyway, I always felt guilty to Puppy, but I keep his picture up and talk about him often. But someone was going to put their dog to sleep because they no longer had time for him. Ew. So I just had to adopt him. Good for you. I got him on June 18, 2006. When I brought Trevor home, oh, Trevor, what a cute name. Trevor home, he was constantly looking around as if he was looking at someone. But I thought it was just him getting adjusted to a new place. Then in July, I moved into a new place and it started again. Then the other night, I filled up Trevor's water dish before going to bed. I woke up about an hour later to hear loud lapping of water. This is very strange because he always stays with me till I get up. I woke up and looked out the door towards the kitchen at his bowl and saw him in the dark and called out, "Trevor?" All of a sudden, from the foot of the bed, Trevor popped up his head from his dog bed. I jumped up, flipped on the light. He was sitting in his bed and just staring at the kitchen and had never left the room. I walked out of the kitchen and on the floor by the dog dish with some water on the floor.
Not too shabby.
Yeah, either Trevor was pretty quick on the fly there, or the ghost puppy was back. Well, thank you, Anonymous. That was pretty cool.
Yes, it was.
We did an investigation a couple years ago at a haunted ambulance squad in Garwood. And we got that case because the teenager I had at the time, who was a babysitter for me, she was on the squad there. And she said they hear all kinds of noises. Sometimes the pool balls will be rolling on the pool table and nobody's moving them. And, you know, are playing pool, and the TV would turn on at all hours when they were trying to get some sleep. And so we went in and we found out, when we traced back the history, the main thing was, and it's so ironic, it was the captain of the squad. The whole squad was out on a very serious call.
Right.
And he was left at the squad building to man the fort and whatever. While he was there alone, he had a massive heart attack.
Aww.
Is that ironic? You're on an ambulance squad. You're in the ambulance building with EMTs up the wazoo, and they're all out at a call. He has a massive heart attack right in the bay where the ambulance has to pull in, and he collapses. So when they come back from their call and up comes the garage door, there's his body laying there, and it's the captain, and he's dead. So he still haunts the place, you know? He's keeping an eye on things. And
we should go back there.
Yeah, well, that was a while ago, but I'm sure he's still hanging out there. I guess it's time for a commercial break.
If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator.
Hi, this is John Zaffis, author of Shadows of the Dark. Welcome to another evening of Deadline, hosted by New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. I hope you enjoy the show.
Okay, it's time for Haunted Trivia. Now, last week, you were asked, what is the name of the famed ghost of the Myrtles Plantation in St. Francisville, Louisiana? Her picture is very famous. It's been on all those shows like Sightings and everything. And the answer is Chloe. Do you know the story of Chloe?
Well, yeah. Wasn't she born in Smallville?
No.
Oh, that's
Chloe the ghost.
Oh, okay.
The slave. She was there at the plantation, she actually was able to take care of the children and be in the main house, which was, you know, considered more of a privileged slave back then. You didn't have to be out in the fields and doing all the hard labor. She got to be in the main house and everything. But she had a nasty little habit of eavesdropping.
Just like a woman.
And one time the master of the house was having a very important meeting with some other gentlemen folk, and when he came out the one swinging door to go get something, he saw her there and startled her, and he realized she was listening in on the conversations they were having. And he had her ear cut off as punishment, you know, to teach her a lesson. So she had a, you know, then, like, she always wore, like, one of those head handkerchief things wrapped to kind of disguise the fact that she was missing the one ear. She was very bitter about that, and she decided, you know, and not only did he punish her by cutting off her ear, he relegated her back out to the fields to do the hard labor. She wasn't allowed in the house anymore, so now she was really pissed, but she also wanted to get back into that house, so she figured, you know what, now the name escapes me of the plant, white something or other, and it was a movie. They used it in the title of the movie, that the poisonous plant that grows rampantly in that area. Darn, I can't believe it escapes me now. Or something with an O, maybe? Well, anyway, she went out and she picked all this, and she figured, I'll make a the kids' birthdays were coming up, and she thought, let me make them like a birthday cake. I'll bake some of this in. They'll get sick.
Right.
And of course, when they're sick, the first person they're going to call for is their Chloe. So that way she could come in and nurse them back to health, get back into the good graces, and be back in the main house. So that really was her plan. Unfortunately, oleander.
Oleander.
White oleander, yes. That's what she baked into it. And she put a little too much. And the wife and all the kids that ate the cake all died. And then,
lovely.
Of course, you know, the other slaves figured out what she had done, and the master was going to punish her, but he didn't get to her fast enough. Apparently, the other slaves were so enraged at what she did that they took her out to the tree and hanged her. And when I was down there and staying there, I took pictures of that tree, and I got some good orb shots at that very tree where
cool,
Chloe was hanged.
Cool.
So, okay, so there's your Myrtle's Plantation history. Now, this week's haunted trivia has a skill level of challenging. You've all heard of the Headless Horseman ghost. I mean, we have, what, a couple of them here in New Jersey, the one out in the swamps, the Headless Hessian that Washington Irving based his Sleepy Hollow on. We have the ghost right in the Watchung Reservation, the Headless Horseman of Baltusrol. However, everybody's got them. Have you ever, there's a lot of places, okay, they have this. However, have you ever heard of the Headless Horse ghost? Yes, this phantom creature makes its way on Clinton Doylestown Road. Of the 50 United States, what one does this take place in? Okay, there's 50 states, only one headless horse ghost. Cantering down Clinton Doylestown Road in the misty night. Clump, 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 clump. But you won't hear any whinnying because it has no head. So, if you can tell us the state that this takes place in, you will win a New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society t-shirt. No promise on the size. You could get one that you'll have to give to a kid, niece, or nephew. Or you could get an adult one, but whatever we have in stock till supplies last, you will win a New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society t-shirt. So be the first person to email the correct answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net. Okay, so, oh, and I need to mention the Ghost World Conference.
Ah, yes.
We, out of the kindness of our hearts, have decided to extend the early bird registration.
Ah.
Okay, so the early bird registration price is $95, and it is going to be good through November 15th.
Oh, I better get on there right away.
Yes, so log on to ghostworldconference.com and register. Now, if you are an NJGHS member and you want the buddy rate of $85, then you need to email me and request it. Okay, the link and the rate are good up through April 30th, 2007, but you do have to email laurah@njghs.net and request it, and I will verify that you are a member in the database and then send you the link. So, any other goodies, any other news?
Nothing I can think of.
Okay. Well, stay tuned to the njghs.net website and sign up for our Yahoo groups to get the latest and greatest info. And thanks to Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline.
Hail to the king, baby.
Our team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish and Laura Lindemann. And Don Slepian of donslepian.com for our theme song. And, of course, thanks to you for listening. Keep downloading the shows weekly because at some point in life you have to meet The Deadline.